All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm with Jake Angeli. Did I say it right?
Angeli.
Angeli, there he goes. Yeah, you know, I butcher everyone's last name. And he just told me right now, and I still screwed it up, so go figure. Jake, man, you were real popular. You still are a very popular guy. You know, everyone knows you from, you know, the J6 Capitol thing, wearing the big buffalo horns, the whole thing. You were imprisoned. You have a hell of a story to tell. Man, thank you so much for joining me, dude. Thank you for taking time out of your day to join me. We're going to be talking about a little something different today, folks. We're going to touch a little bit, just get his viewpoints on that part of the battlefield. But we're going to talk about Terrence Howard today and his claims of gravity's dead. There is no gravity. We're going to go into all of this. Jake, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you again, bro. But first, folks, get your morning kick. I got to do this. Get your morning kick. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? Because I have. I recently saw a video he made, and I was shocked. He's in his 80s and still kicking butt and working out and staying active. What's even more shocking is he's stronger, can work out longer, even has plenty of energy left over his grandkids. He did this just by making one change, folks. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing, too, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner, and she has energy all day. Chuck made a special video that explains everything. Make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/Nino or by clicking on the link below this video. It will change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's chuckdefense.com/Nino. And click on the link in the description box below. You won't believe how simple it is. Just a reminder, folks, the legendary Chuck Norris is a whopping 81 years old and has more energy than I do. I have to say that. He discovered he could create dramatic changes to his health simply by focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. Watch his method by clicking on the link below and get started. All right, Jake. Man, good to have you on, bro. It's been a while. It's been a little bit.
Yes, it has. And I am honored to be here.
Dude, you know, I you know, when I first, I think we've done a podcast about two or three times, right? Is it, or just one?
Yeah, I think we've done two. Yeah.
So, you know, I realize you're a bright guy. You're really an intelligent dude. And I really, I give credit where credit's due. You know, I when I had you on, I wanted to break the stereotype of what people thought you were or what you were doing out there. You're just a real, flamboyant dude, just real. You're a highly intelligent guy. You believe in what you believe in, and you have to respect that. And you know, and I think people need to get to know you a little better to understand there's actually a lot of intelligence behind those buffalo horns, folks. This guy knows his stuff. Very open-minded guy. So I want to give you credit on that. And my audience really enjoyed you the first time I had you on. So once again, dude, thanks for coming on, bro.
Not a problem. I'm glad to be here. And let's dive right in, shall we?
Well, first, let's start with the SCOTUS. Looking back into the trials, into the people that were convicted. Am I right? You want to clear this up for me? Really stuff?
What happened is that SCOTUS took up an open case, Fisher versus the United States, I believe, or United States versus Fisher. And long story short, the case is still open, which means that it still hasn't gone to trial. There's been no conclusion reached. But the plaintiff, I guess, or the defendant, actually, rather, the defendant in this case was pleading to the Supreme Court saying, hey, this 1512 charge doesn't apply. You know, it's about destroying documents and record. It was created during the Enron scandal. Like, why are they charging me with this felony that has a maximum of 20 years when it's actually not applicable to what it is that I did? And so that case made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court decided that, look, the government is overcharging people. You can't use this charge. It's not applicable. It's for destroying documents that obstruct official court proceedings or federal proceedings. Right. It has nothing to do with obstructing some sort of congressional proceeding by, you know, being in the room, right? So they basically said, no, this doesn't apply. these are the parameters for which you can charge people with the 1512 charge. And so now there's like 300 some odd or more that have either pled guilty or been found guilty or are waiting trial or are about to go to prison, whatever, for the 1512. So the Supreme Court handing down this judgment is actually very interesting. Now, what is also kind of even more interesting about it is that we're still talking about an active case with the Fisher case. Yeah. So what might happen is that based on this ruling, the government may go back and charge Fisher with this 1512, but they might change the language in their indictment or in their argument so that they can charge him with it. Or they might go back and say, okay, well, we can't get him with a 1512, but let's hit him with a bunch of these other felonies that add up to 20 years maximum.
Yeah.
You know, they might triple down on tyranny.
Right, right. So,
but that remains to be seen. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And your case is done and over with, right? Are you on probation right now? I can't remember.
Yes, I'm currently on supervised release. My attorney just placed a motion in the courts to get me off of supervised release because what a lot of people don't know, the appellate courts in D.C. recently ruled that the enhancements, the sentencing enhancements that are being placed on the 1512 charge in particular for cases also does not apply. That the government's basically bending the law.
Right.
They're bending the law. They're bending the rules so that they can get convictions, so that they can create a name for themselves, or so that they can win these cases and excel their career. So the enhancements are the only reason why I got the 41-51 month guideline range. If there were no enhancements placed on my plea deal, then I would have had, like, I think it was like 10 to 16 months of my guidelines, right?
So you're not aware of the documentary The War on Truth, right? You weren't aware that. Well, I watched it. It's a fascinating documentary. It's very interesting. It's incredible. Does you all a lot of justice, by the way. It's a great documentary. I saw it, and you're in it briefly here and there, you know, video of you walking around and shit. A lot of these people were pushed into these plea deals. I mean, I was watching this just in horror, like, I can't believe how they did this. And they were pushed into this. And now, I mean, these people's lives are absolutely destroyed. You're actually the one that I know, you're like the first big name that got released, that all the footage was really on Fox News was of you walking around. I mean, you made yourself very well known with what you were wearing. And now there's so many people still sitting in jail, rotting in jail. How do you feel about that? Like, how do your heart goes out to these people? You probably knew a lot of them. What's your thoughts on that?
No, dude? Actually, no, I didn't know any of them. But yeah, my heart definitely goes out to them. The thing is that early on, I realized that if you can rig an election, you can rig a jury box very easily. And with the way that the government does things, like what you were saying about getting people to plead, right? Plead out. The government has like a 98% guilty plea rate. Damn. That means not a conviction rate. That isn't that they went to trial, they won their case. No, that means that 98% of the people that the federal government arrests, they plead guilty. And this is because the government is using all of their resources, which are actually our resources, all of their resources, their time, their energy, their money, you know, all of that to lean on people. And
force
people
them.
Can't. What's that?
And then force them into the plea.
Well, you know, I think what you could call it coerce, but it is kind of like force because what the government will do is they'll say, look, we got this plea deal here. You know, you plead guilty to this. We'll drop all these other charges. You'll do 5 years in prison. But if you go to trial, we'll nail you to the wall and you'll do 20 if you lose.
Yeah.
And so who's going to take that chance?
Yeah, exactly. Jeez, man.
So, yeah, that's and so in cases, that is what has happened. Now, what's interesting about it, though, is that the Republican conservative side has been talking for a long time, or should I say, they've been snubbing their nose at the left as they say, we need justice reform. And that this system is corrupt. And the Republicans and conservatives are like, they broke the law, you know, whatever. They're criminals. And then it's like, well, hold on a second. Now that the government is using these tactics that were used on all these other people for decades on conservatives, now the conservatives are really starting to take a second look at the justice system and saying, you know, this is wrong. This isn't good, you know?
Yeah.
And this has been the problem for a long time. So I think it's actually kind of, I mean, which is not a good thing, but if we want to find a pony in here somewhere, if we want to find, you know, the diamond in the rough, it's that the Republican and the Democrat, the conservative and the liberal finally have something that they can agree upon. And that is the justice system needs reform. The criminal justice system, the prison system needs reform.
Oh yeah. 100%. Well, look, I wanted to let everyone just, you know, catch up with what's been going on with you, but I'm going to segue into Terrence Howard. That's where I really want to bring you on, because I want people to see another side of you. And this is pretty interesting, folks. This is an intelligent guy here. I respect people's intelligence. I give credit where credit is due. Terrence Howard breaks the internet on Joe Rogan, talking about gravity's dead. He kills gravity, talking about energy frequencies and vibrations that our whole reality exists in. And I don't disagree. And I know you don't either, but let's talk a little further on that. Let's elaborate on this. I want people to see a side of you that you showed me when I've talked to you on the phone. And like, I thought, wow, man, this could be a really interesting podcast. So just recently, Terrence Howard was on with Joe Rogan once again. And Eric, what's his last name? Eric
Weinstein.
Weinstein, right. Basically, was it a gentleman's debate or... First of all, what's your thoughts? And a lot of my audience understands what's going on with Terrence Howard. They've watched him on Joe Rogan. I haven't watched the Eric Weinstein podcast yet, but I got highlights of it that I'm going to play with you. But what's your view on Terrence Howard and his outlook on our reality?
Well, I think that what Terrence has come to discover is that our view of reality is a social construct. It is a cultural paradigm. It is constructed based on marginalizing everything that does not fit into our worldview, or pushing everything to the side that we cannot explain. And because of that, it's a house of cards. And so I think Terrence Howard kind of came to find, like, wait a second, this world that we're being told, the world is not what we're being told that it is. And because of that, it caused him to, I think, dive deeper into what the world really was. I mean, he said in the podcast with Joe, and it was just him and Joe, that ever since he was a kid, he's been fascinated by this stuff, and that he's had dreams. And, you know, and what's interesting about his testimony was he talks about like pre-birth memories or remembering being in the womb and all that stuff. I've had similar experiences. So I am able to, from my own personal experience, say, oh, I know what that's like. Yeah, that's real.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that he had these revelations and these epiphanies and these, you know, prophetic visions, I guess you could say, of the sacred geometric structure of the universe and how it is that it is all basically like a massive waveform of energy. In that regard,
and that,
I think
and that goes
he's
against
ahead of
today's
his time.
Science, really, because today's scientists, they really have to physically measure everything to prove it's real.
Yes. Well, and
that's why they're having a problem with it, right?
Right. Well, I think it was Tesla that said something along the lines of, when we start researching non-physical phenomena, we'll make more progress in 10 years than we have in the last century, or something like that. And I think that it was also Tesla that said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. So energy, frequency, and vibration is everything that Terrence Howard's talking about. And at the end of the day, you know, the double slit experiment proves that reality is both physical and waveform.
Right.
Right.
And but what I was going to say about that is the double slit theory. What I feel is so tricky about this is that it knows when it's being observed. It's conscious. It understands when it's being observed, and it changes. So it goes wave when it changes up on the observer. Correct. Am I right in saying that?
Well, yeah, but I don't know if it's the particle that is conscious. I think what it is that our observation of reality changes it from multiple possibilities into a singularity. And in that regard, I think that it's actually more credit to us or to the observer within us than it is to the matter, the atom, the electron, whatever. I think it's or the photon. I think it's more so along the lines of our five senses are almost like they create this singularity in every single moment. So according to, I believe his name is Hameroff, Professor Hameroff in University of Arizona. He's basically saying that the brain does something called quantum computation, which means that we go from infinite possibilities to singularity, infinite possibilities, singularity. And we do this 40 times every second, infinite possibility, singularity. Right. So wave, particle. We do this 40 times every second.
Would that be as if we are focusing on something, we go from bringing something into focus or we bring it into particle?
Yeah, basically basically what's happening is that 40 times
like
every
all
second
these all these massive all these infinite potentials, we grab one potential, bring it into particle
and bring it into reality, and right, we do this 40 right. times every second.
Damn.
And we're always informing the quantum cosmic hologram in those flashes between infinite to singular, right? And so I think that when it comes to the double slit experiment, what we're really viewing there is this process of going from infinite to singular. And if you think about the duality of the universe, then infinite and singular are essentially like, you know, two sides of the same coin, you know.
Got you. So is it kind of like we are tapping into an Ethernet of super consciousness that we are able to pull out the any kind of a potential into our interface and bring it into a possibility? Like we in
yes.
order for us to take from this wave of infinite possibilities and bring it into a particle, into a possibility, to into focus, into our interface, which is our brain, correct?
Well, and our heart,
making
actually.
Sense here. I'm trying.
No. According to quantum physicists, there's something called non-local consciousness. It's basically what we are calling God. Non-local consciousness is it's almost like the physical human body and brain is like a computer. And non-local consciousness is Wi-Fi. It is a signal of self-awareness. So self-awareness is not produced through complex neural activity in between our ears and our brain. It is actually produced in the universe itself. Like the very laws of physics, consciousness is a part of the universe. It's a part of creation. And we are sending and receiving this signal over and over and over again with non-local consciousness, or with source or God or whatever you want to call it. And we're in a constant feedback loop of sending and receiving light and information. Now, interesting enough, if you look into
so
the Heart
Math Institute,
we
are the internet, and we are the interface.
Yes. We are information. Now, the Heart Math Institute recently did a study within the last decade or two where they found that our DNA has these little antenna on them that are activated based on the frequency of our electromagnetic field
are those
thoughts
called
and our
telomeres, or
emotions.
what are they called?
No, not telomeres. Telomeres are a separate thing. What I'm talking about is these little tiny antenna. They're like microscopic antenna on the DNA that if you have a high frequency waveform of love and you map that across the DNA, then that waveform ends up activating way more of the antenna on the DNA. But if you have a slow, broad waveform of fear, then that activates far less. So these antenna are responsible for sending and receiving light and information with this
non-local
consciousness.
We are receptors of consciousness.
Yes.
Which means
that
consciousness does not reside in this interface. Consciousness resides everywhere. We are just the receptors pulling this information into our interface. Which
that
tells
is
me
correct.
when people have out of body near death experience and they say, man, I was floating out of my body. That's just their consciousness leaving that interface.
Right? That is correct. And it also means that we have the potential to expand much further beyond our physical body, right? So we have the capacity to expand our consciousness or expand our electromagnetic field to reach harmonic octaves that are far beyond physical reality. And this is where we get into the development of the sixth sense or the seventh sense or whatever, right? These psychic or extrasensory perception capabilities of the human mind and body. This is also where we get into things like bilocation or astral projection, remote viewing, things of that nature. So the universe is essentially a conscious whole where everything is made up of the same source. Everything is made up of the same energy. And that energy at its fundamental core is self-awareness or consciousness, which means that if everything is like a conscious waveform of energy, just scaled up or down in levels of time, then we have the capacity as that conscious observer to expand our consciousness to these higher levels and dimensions and waveforms,
which would be able to perceive essential
more information. Which, and that's what I think Terrence Howard did.
Is that also would be considered what Buddhists would call ascension, yes. Hiring into these higher harmonic waves? So do you believe there are demonic energies out there trying to pull us down into lower frequencies?
Absolutely. It's the tug and the pull. There are lower dimensional entities that feed off of our low dimensional or a lower frequency emotions and thoughts. So there are these, what the Gnostics called archons, what we call demons. The Toltecs even talk about it and say that there's basically like a parasite on this planet that feed off of our fear. Yeah, it is very much so. And so these entities feed off of our negative emotions, anger, fear, hate, death, decay, destruction, pain, suffering, all of those things.
And they control the MSM.
Right? I mean, fuck. Well, yeah. And, they've controlled a lot of institutions for a long time.
Music.
Now that you bring up music, and let's bring that back into frequency, right? Think about this. Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. If you listen to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony all the way through, and you have like I think it's called an EKG or whatever, where they measure your brain waves and shit. If you listen to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, you will find that there's more cognitive function. There's more coherence in the brain. You actually are able to focus better. It actually creates more neural connectivity. Now, if you listen to something like, Cardi B,
yeah,
or Lil Nas X or something, yeah, like that, or even some of the modern garbage country that's out there,
yeah,
any modern music, death metal like Cradle of Filth, yeah, or something like that, right? Slayer,
really anything that's mainstream,
right? But modern, you're not going to have the same effect on the neural activity in the brain. In fact, it's going to have the opposite effect. You're going to think less. You're going to get subliminal messages to commit crime or to harm yourself or others, or to just be depressed or angry or sad or something. Do you see what I'm saying? So
which happened with the whole hip hop movement in the 90s and into the early 2000s, all about that gangster rap, the whole thing. I mean, that was all three letter agency controlled.
Precisely. So what frequencies are being emitted from the radio towers to our car stereos or to our Walkmans or to our streaming, devices? What frequencies are being emitted, and what kind of an effect is that having on society? Is it having one where we are unifying, or is it further dividing us? Is it enforcing the illusion of separation, or is it reinforcing the truth of unity? And I think that, coming back to Terrence Howard, I think that what he has come to discover is that this whole world is based on division. This whole world is based on low frequencies, low vibes. This whole theory of history, of science, of physics, that it's all based on little amounts of information, and the marginalizing or the suppression of information that is counter to the official narrative that has been created, which is a very low frequency materialist narrative. And I think he's trying to get beyond that. But I also think that, especially if you listen to the Eric Weinstein episode of Joe Rogan, where he's talking to him and Terrence Howard, what I think Terrence Howard's issue is that he's so filled with passion and he's so excited about actually discovering something real and having, and because he had these experiences that go beyond the flesh and that go beyond the cultural paradigm and the social construct, he's looking at all and going, what? But there is some truth within the institutional, you know, educational facilities. And that's how they get people, is they mix truth with lies. They mix truth and things that are solid with things that are just their conjecture and social constructs.
Well, hold on here. This is something very important for my audience, because I've been saying since the beginning of my podcast that we're in a spiritual war. Okay. I've said this over and over and over again. And the way they're doing this is it's actually same thing. Frequency wars. It's basically frequency wrapped with intention being delivered to the masses, and that's how they're controlling humanity. They figured this out. Lower the frequency, put intention in there. That's how they do it with the music. They do it with movies. They do it with the news. Wrap that up and give it to the cattle. So that is how they're trying to win the spiritual war. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and now think about how that would affect humanity on an individual and a mass scale regarding the double slit experiment.
Boom. Right there. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I agree.
See, so now we're operating based on this low frequency of thought and emotion, and we're looking at reality, and 40 times every second, we're creating a low frequency possibility for ourselves and therefore for others. And if you have enough people doing this in volume or in mass all over the world based on this propaganda, then the way that we view the world is going to what? It's going to result in famine. It's going to result in disease, death, decay, destruction, war, drought, pollution, right?
So, it's going,
indoctrination.
This tells me, and there has to be, whether it's a demonic presence or a parasitic demonic presence or another species of an extraterrestrial type of species or whatever, that they have really figured out how to control and hold down humanity. And I think the war is not just with ourselves. We're obviously fighting with ourselves, but there has to be a much more intelligent species or entity at play here that is really trying to hold down humanity. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. There is a very intelligent force here, but it's not more intelligent than humanity in that,
but it knows how to deceive.
Well, yes, but the thing is that once you figure out, it's almost like have you ever known a person that lies all the time, a compulsive liar.
Yeah.
And then you figure out what their tell is, and you're like, oh dude, I know what your tell is. Now I know when you're lying to me every time you lie. Right. So we're as humanity as like a whole, it's kind of like we're almost like a teenager that's easily deceived. But as we grow older and as we've gotten deceived over and over again, we've gotten to a point now where we're like, oh, you can't pull the wool over my eyes.
Well, some people, so like I think you that, or like me, but a lot of people know.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people listening to this podcast, yes. But there's still a lot of people that I don't know if they're just slower along their spiritual journey or what's going on, but they are not there yet, Jake. Do you get what I'm saying?
And
they're holding humanity down as a whole.
But I think that comes down to the time that we're in, the age, the frequency of our collective consciousness, and the sandbags that have been placed on it for a long time. And that's because these entities that we're talking about, these parasitic entities, these archons, they fear humanity because we are actually so much smarter than they, and we are so much more powerful than they are. So they have to try to keep us dumb. Now think about it. We've got fluoride in the water. We've got glyphosate in the food. We've got aluminum in the sky and barium in the sky. We've got aluminum and formaldehyde and mercury. We've got indoctrination on every TV. We've got 5G towers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of all the ways in which our consciousness has been suppressed. So imagine if none of these things were there. Imagine how much more difficult it would be to control and manipulate our mass consciousness. That being said, I think that what this force that you're talking about, this parasitic force that we're talking about, is actually rooted in artificial intelligence.
I agree.
And I do believe that ascension intelligence, that is the real AI, ascension intelligence, is going to trump or beat artificial intelligence any day of the week. But what has happened is that due to culture, we've become such lazy thinkers and such lazy, shall we say, spiritual beings, that we have become impressed by artificial intelligence and its ability to supply us with instant gratification, mm-hmm. that we have forgotten about how powerful we really are and how much we actually can do if we just activate these spiritual capabilities and become ascended beings.
So would you say, you know, really, we are the original creators, we are the creators, we are the co-creators of God, and artificial intelligence can only steal and improve, or am I making sense, kind of steal our creation and improve upon it, or change it, or manipulate it, you know, which a lot of people talk about, like the gray aliens, abductions, the artificial intelligence that they have been created to create hybrids. So maybe this is a spiritual war, and what we're talking about here is this, the essence of this spiritual war on a scientific level. That this is really, and it does come down to AI, which we would say is demonic, right? And the ascended is
from angelic.
God. Angelic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the artificial intelligence is, and it is what the archons in the Gnostic tradition supposedly do not have the ability to create. All they have the ability to do is to distort what is already created or destroy what has been created, but they can't create anything. So, like what you're saying about like genetics and hybridization and stuff. I mean, like the homunculi is something that has been trying to be created for the, you know, several thousand years. Animal hybrids and like spliced genetic code and stuff. Like this stuff goes far back.
Yeah, the coming transhuman agenda. That all goes to AI. It all goes to the parasite, man. All right, I'm gonna play some of this video here. Let's commentate on it a little bit and give me your thoughts. Now, this is Eric Weinstein and Terrence Howard debate 1 × 1 = 2 on the Joe Rogan podcast. So Terrence Howard was saying 1 × 1 is actually 1, correct? That's what he's arguing here?
No. Terrence Howard is saying that 1 × 1 = 2. And what Eric Weinstein is saying, well, no, that doesn't make sense. But I think what Terrence Howard is trying to point out here is that, like, basically, and this is his, like, basically his one-inch punch, his final move here, is to point out how the whole of science and mathematics is based on a false premise, and that is 1 × 1 = 1. When no. How many times, like if you have one coffee cup, and then you take that one coffee cup and you times it by another coffee cup, you don't just get one coffee cup.
Right.
You know, and that's I think his point here.
Let's play a little bit of it.
As an example of the 1 × 1, assume that Terrence doesn't have a big problem with addition, because addition doesn't have the division by zero problem. If you take any two numbers, A and B, two real numbers, right? Or make them positive.
Mm-hmm.
And take the natural logs of those two numbers and add those together. Then you take the exponent of that. So we haven't done a times operation at all.
Right.
Right? The exponential of the ln of A plus ln of B. That is equal to the A to A times B. In other words, addition and multiplication are what we would say is isomorphic, where an ordinary person would say exactly the same thing. So in other words, if you don't allow me multiplication, but you would allow me, because you like waves, so with waves you need exponentials and you need natural logarithms, there's no way of changing the law of multiplication and accepting the law of addition because they're the same system.
The multiplication should initially started as exaggerated addition. That was the whole point of it.
Well, the precise statement would be that the positive real numbers under multiplication, with the identity element being the multiplicative identity being one, are isomorphic to the total real numbers under addition, with the additive identity being zero. And the natural logarithm and exponential are group homomorphisms that connect the two, with one being the other's inverse. So by the principle of explosion, the reason that people are in part going to freak out about your stuff is that we have a vulnerability. And that vulnerability says that from a single contradiction, if you can sneak one contradiction through TSA, the entire airport collapses. Everything that we do just is destroyed. And so
I understand where he's coming from, right? I've never seen this podcast before, but I kind of agree with Eric Weinstein on this, don't you?
Well, but here's the thing, and this is, I think, where Terrence Howard was coming into play here. And if you watch the whole of this interview, you'll find that what I think Terrence Howard was trying to say was basically that, look, this whole mathematical system that we're dealing with is a section of reality on its own, that basically they've created an imaginary world of mathematics where they can do all of these thought experiments and stuff like that and have these predetermined values that are based in mental processing or based in imagination, as opposed to in factual real world basis, you know, grounded in the world. Instead, it's something that's in the mind and in the imagination, and you can play with the numbers all you want and you can get whatever outcome you're looking for.
Didn't Tesla also say that if you really want to understand the universe, you got to understand the numbers 3, 6, and 9?
Yeah. He said something about that. Absolutely. And he was talking about harmonics there.
Right. So the true numbers are 3, 6, and 9, correct? And all math should be derived from that. All mathematics should be derived from that, because 10 is just 9 plus the number. It goes back. So what's he getting at here when he says 3, 6, and 9 are the most important numbers in the universe?
I think that those are harmonic octaves. It's like boop, boop, boop.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it
goes back to frequencies and vibration.
And Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. So what Terrence Howard is doing is he's basically spitting in the face of not just physics, but modern mathematics. And granted, we've gotten all sorts of stuff from our understanding of physics and mathematics. You know, if you want to understand where the artillery shell is going to land on the battlefield, then our modern physics and mathematics can teach you that. It can tell you that. But if it comes down to understanding the secrets of the universe, if it comes down to understanding sacred geometry or energy, frequency, and vibration, or the origins of the species, or whatever, you know, the nature of God and reality, our physics is not able to answer those questions.
And they
only
apply into this third dimensional reality.
Well, and think about it. I think Terrence McKenna once said that, you know, all of modern physics is based on the idea that the Big Bang, something somehow miraculously came out of nothing for no reason at all. And he was saying, if you can convince people of that, and you can convince them of anything. And so the basis of our origins of all creation is already based on silliness. So saying, oh, it's the Big Bang is just as silly as saying, oh, it's just God. And it's like, no, we want real answers here. And I think that the main thing that Terrence Howard was pointing at and probing at that the physics and mathematic community got uncomfortable with was the fact that they don't have the answers either.
Well, Terrence is thinking in other dimensions. He's not thinking on just solely on this third dimensional realm. And that's the problem. Everyone else has to have something to measure. And it has to go coincide with this third dimensional reality. This guy, like you said, is thinking in waves. He's out. He's in outer space. This guy's he's above. He's transcended this reality. He's thinking above and beyond it. Could I say that?
Yeah, well, and I think he's actually in inner space, but inner and outer space are exactly the same thing. He's
as above, so below.
Yes, exactly. As within, so without.
Jake, let me get you on again, man, because I love this podcast. I have another one to jump on right now, but I think this was hopefully, you know, we kind of made sense of it. I think we did. I think we did well. I think you did well. You're a great guy, and game recognizes game, right, dude? And you are an intelligent dude, and I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you. I wanted to show another side of you that my audience needs to see. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to see this. So I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. God bless you and your audience, man. Much love.
Much love, brother.